This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by Commonwealth Bank, CFAL, Ross Electric Motors, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, Wendy's, J.S. Johnson, NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers, Easy Car Sales, Comfort Suites, Reef Rescue Unit, YKR's Fashion Center, Margaritaville, Island Pay, Advantage Insurance, and the Digital Transformation Unit.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. I want to say that I got a ton of messages and some calls Friday. The people very concerned about my well-being because I wasn't here on Thursday or Friday. I actually did intend to be here on Thursday and Friday. I had forgotten that last Thursday, Ken Danique had said she'd already set up the show and everything like that. And I thought it was this coming Thursday, but it's not. And so I didn't do the show on Thursday. And on Friday, I definitely intended to be here because I had Chef Simeon Hall Jr. Booked. He's recently had an experience on a cooking show that we wanted to talk about, plus some other things. It's always fun to talk to him. And I had to postpone the show with him because I have a big project going on at work, and I'm couldn't control the time of a very critical meeting, and so I had to take the meeting. But I had every intention of being here, and that I did not say that I wouldn't be here led some people to worry, which is touching. But I have not stopped working for The Guardian. I've not stopped doing the show. Not yet. Not yet. All right? It depends on how this money go. You know what I'm saying? So stuff could change. You know what I'm saying? So in terms of this show, anyway, I don't intend to leave The Guardian. So I'm here, all right? So we missed a lot, apparently. Like, not a lot, like the game ain't changed. But a number of things happened, all right? People were, like, asking me about BPL. We'll talk about BPL. They're asking me about the Rodney Monker thing. We can talk about that. Not so much in terms of Rodney Monker himself, but in terms of just the signals that seem to be sent in terms of the government's priorities, particularly in light of the fiscal challenges that we've heard so much about that now seem to be a thing of the past in terms of what the government... What is this? Why is this ringing? Hold on. Someone left the ringer on. Oh, okay, let's vibrate. There we go. Boom. Yeah, but in terms of, we've heard so much about these fiscal challenges, and now they seem to be, you know, something where we're not really checking for it like that. When I say we, I'm talking about the government, the Davis administration. They talk a lot about fiscal prudency, but then we see them acting in a manner that doesn't suggest that they are really concerned with fiscal prudency, not in terms of the larger public purse. All right. So, first of all, let's talk about, let's start with the Ministry of National Security thing. So, I'll say this. I don't really rock with Rodney Monker, and he knows that. And he don't rock with me, and I know that, and we both know why. I don't have any ill will toward him at this point. But it's not like I take him seriously at all, right? So, my thing is, crime is a very serious issue in this country. And to the extent that you can get people on board to help address that situation, I'm all for it. I don't suggest being conservative with spending in that regard at all. But I don't believe you should just give people positions just to find something for them to do. You should really find someone who's useful and make good use of them. When I see the Davis administration apparently searching to give a role to just about everybody for things that I don't know were seriously lacking in being addressed, these extraordinary ambassadors, for one, I don't understand why there's this burning need for all that. They're talking about crime conclaves, XYZ. And, you know, that's fine. No problem. But what I see, what appears to be happening to me is we, as in the central government, we're just giving people jobs to give them something to do. We don't really think it's an intentional, well-crafted strategy that's going on. I don't know anyone who thinks that. Not with this, right? So if you're saying to me, okay, Rodney Monker's got some experience in the inner city community. Latrae was talking about this. Latrae, you're my homie. You didn't make any sense to me with this one. If we are talking about people who actually can move the dial forward, and we're not going to parse over whether they are a paid consultant or not, whether they're a talk show host or a landscaper or a dentist, no problem, right? If you need the help, then you need the help and go get the help, right? However, when you're just giving people jobs who don't really seem to have a use in that particular field, it just gets the sense that you're giving people jobs. So I'll give you an example, right? And you guys are going to get probably some blowback with me, but it is what it is, right? So Jeff Lloyd, for instance, for years and years and years, Jeff Lloyd ran the program, I think it was East, right, on Andros, right, and in New Providence. And I mean, hundreds of boys went through the program. It was really designed to get them out of the environment that they were in, instill discipline in them, X, Y, Z. And it was successful. However, it was canceled during the last Ingram administration because Ingram just kind of, but you know, the price tag's too much per child, which I didn't think was a good way to look at it. I think that it doesn't matter, you know, either you pay to correct at-risk, unruly children in your society before they become criminals, or you start paying after they start committing crimes, and you're paying a cost, really, that you can hardly measure in terms of blood and treasure, yeah? So Jeff Lloyd has experience in doing the YEAST program, extensive experience, but I don't see anyone going, well, Jeff Lloyd, no matter him being an F&M, really should be brought on board to give his perspective on how the youth can be impacted through targeted government intervention. All right, but nobody's talking about that. And nobody's talking about that because, to me, it doesn't seem like it's really about bringing all available hands on deck. It seems to me to be about bringing on deck those who, yes, have worked with successive administrations like a Carlos Reed, but also about making sure that people who support the party are straight. Am I naive enough to say that this is the first time this has happened? Yada, yada. No, of course not, right? But beyond it just being Rodney Monker, right? Think of the broader message that you are sending and think about the toll each one of these public missteps adds up to. And I say it's a public misstep because it shouldn't have been an accident that someone learned, oh yeah, Rodney Monker's a consultant with the Ministry of National Security. That's something that should have been addressed before the Prime Minister, the former Prime Minister blurted it out in Parliament because he saw something in a booklet at a church program, right? So whether he's an independent contractor or not, that's not something that we should just learn about and go, oh, okay, well, you know, in the interest of transparency, in the interest of Wayne Monroe frequently appeared on this very same program. I didn't really watch the program, but I'd be interested if anybody gleaned from Monroe sitting there with Monker that they had a real well-orchestrated idea of how to tackle crime in the inner city. All right, I didn't get anyone saying that that was the sense that they got from that. That these were heady discussions that were taking place, that they really latched on to something and they got some ideas that, you know, maybe could work if we put them into implementation. I didn't get that. Again, I didn't watch it like that, but that was never in the zeitgeist, like, man, these guys are onto something. All right, so to me, it's just sending a message that you're willing to give people who support you jobs and you don't care what the public thinks. And you don't care about the ultimate cost to the public purse. Because if Monker's making, like, what, 5 G's a month or something, I would say that's probably standard. You know, that's not a ton of money at the end of the day. But keep in mind, it is a bludgeon for your supporters who feel as though they didn't get handled properly to hit you with when the time is right. Okay? So you're going to realize very quickly, and you probably realize now, that there are just limited funds to take care of all these people who want to be taken care of. And a lot of these people are going to come back to you, you in the guise of the collective cabinet, because most of you all of you except for two of you, if I remember correctly, are MPs. Two? Yeah. So just about all of you are in the House. All of you are in Parliament. And when your supporters, and it always happens because everybody slips through the cracks, when your supporters who didn't get handled come back to you and you go, well, ain't nothing left, ain't that? They're going to go, well, what about Monker? I got to have a talk show then to get like a contract or whatever like that. I got to, like, Wayne Monroe got to be like my friend. You got to sit on the panel with me, X, Y, Z. That's not something that you want. And it's something that's very difficult to defend. Now, I don't know if Wayne Monroe hired Monker. I don't know what happened. I don't know if he just simply instructed the PS at the ministry to entertain it. There is, of course, no way that he did not know that that was taking place. Right? But you're going to find yourself running up on brakes because you're going to confront a situation where people feel as though you took care of those you wanted to take care of and the rest of us be damned. And that's going to possibly cost you politically. All right? So the difference between the PLP and the FNM, let me say this. The difference between the PLP, period, and the FNM under Minnis is the perception that the PLP spreads the largesse around in terms of more people are going to eat, in terms of government contracts, in terms of getting stuff done. And the perception under the last F&M administration was only certain people got taken care of, and the vast majority of people, particularly lots of F&M supporters, they just weren't checking for, right? And that's probably been a historic thing with the F&M, all right? And I'm talking perception-wise, you know? But the PLP's perception is more people eat. And Brave Davis is a completely different animal than a Perry Christie, because Brave will talk to you. Christie would talk to you, but, you know, Brave will make himself available, all right? And he will see what he can do for you. He's a very cordial guy, right? He's not going to be all rough with you and hardcore and crazy with you. He's going to try to make sure that he has an amicable conversation with you, whereas, you know, Christie had a tendency to just kind of duck you, right? Minnis had a tendency to just not be checking at all, even for his friends, from what I heard from a lot of people who thought they were his friend. All right, so while you do get kudos, Brave Davis and the Davis administration, for spreading the wealth around, per se, which is what I hear is happening. Not that they're just taking money out of the Treasury and throwing it at fools. They're actually giving contracts and rebuilding and trying to execute some things. They're doing it properly, right, as far as I can tell. While you get credit for that, you're also going to find a situation where people go, well, y'all only hook up who y'all won't hook up. What about all us who did this, who did X, Y, Z? We ain't got hook up. We ain't got no contract. Consultation with crime. If the criteria is I live in a crime-infested neighborhood, then he could toe the line. Because they be shooting around here where I stay day and night. I could tell you all about what's going on with crime. So you're going to find yourself in problems if you don't watch this. I think it's now, what, 7 months in? Yeah, 8 months? It's not quite 8 months. It's over 7 months in, almost 8 months in. And the public perhaps is sort of weary of hearing again, somebody else got a job on the public payroll who we didn't really think was someone that was necessary in terms of being on the public payroll. All right. You know what I'd also say, too, is this, and I find very, let me choose the word I want to say. What I find very interesting is that, and people actually listen to Minnis, which was amazing to me. And, you know, Minnis was like, oh, if you elect Brave, the country can go to hell and people can die, X, Y, Z, whatever, paraphrasing, you know. And it can be criminality and the cookie jar can be gone. And there was this portrait painted that somehow, if the PLP was legitimately elected, they would just throw all the rules out the window and throw all caution to the wind and just run government like a tuck shop, like their personal piggy bank. And that's not what's happening, all right? Even the things the administration doesn't like about what the F&M did and codified into law, they still are abiding by until they can change it through a legal process. So the notion was silly off top that, oh, Brave Davis and the PLP are going to get elected and they're just going to throw the money away and they're going to start all sorts of darkness and everything like that. Right? That's not what's happening, okay, unless you have proof to the contrary. And we see that if you look at the front page with BPL and all this other stuff, there's some other stuff going on that happened under Minnis that is raises some eyebrows, yes? So I don't think the Brave Davis and the PLP are just throwing money away and throwing all caution to the wind and running to and fro willy-nilly. They're clearly legally binding contracts that they are awarding. However, again, you are going to get the perception that you are just giving people jobs to give them something to do. All right? If Rodney Mocker can help you fight crime or solve the crime problem, you know, I don't know that that's something he can actually help with. But if he can, I'm not begrudging him, you know, whatever his contract is or anything like that. But if you're just doing it because there's a connection to the minister, and I'm not saying anything negative or defamatory, whatever like that. It is just a fact that Wayne Monroe, prior to the election, was on Rodney Mocker's show for several years, as far as I recall. All right? At least many, many moons. Yes. And so now that Wayne Monroe's minister, and Monker's now working right at his ministry, right? or contracted by his ministry, it doesn't take a whole lot of mental gymnastics to say, these people have a relationship, and you can kind of say, it's interesting to me that you were on the show, and then you moved on, and you found something for him there as well. Now, that happens, all right? Happens with friends, happens with colleagues. Not begrudging it. I'm just saying the perception is gonna be weird. But you know what? I'll be real with you. Maybe Moncur can help. And if he can, then God bless him. And like I say, I don't rock with Moncur at all. But if whatever he has to bring to the table, which I don't know what it is, but if whatever he has to bring to the table, he brings it, and it's successful in saving some lives and stemming some sort of violence, by all means, let him go ahead and do that. Now, I don't know what the hell a violence interrupter is. I heard this language before. I think it's something they did in like some other places, right? And I don't know that it worked that well. But these guys out here, and which is what I find strange sometimes how we talk about crime, right? These guys who are killing each other, they're not confused about what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. And if they wanted to interrupt the violence, or if anyone else could have interrupted the violence through just collegial conversation, that would have been already happened. They're not going to go, you know what? This guy shot my brother dead in front of my mother and his children, and he just got out on bail, and I know where he's staying. But let me go talk to somebody, see if they can interrupt the violence. It doesn't work like that out here on this road. These guys, and I'm no street guy, but these guys out here aren't on the edge, vacillating between whether or not to retaliate, because that's a lot of what's going on for the gang warfare that's going on. They're very intentional about it. If they wanted to have conversations with, like, people who maybe could solve it or help it or talk to them, they would have gone to the pastor, they would have gone to the community leaders, they would have gone to the MP. I don't understand this concept of violence interrupter, but I'm willing to be totally wrong, and I hope it all works out. I hope Moncur works out. I'm not a hater, you know. Again, I'll say for the record, I don't rock with Moncur, but if he can help, then that's fine. What I don't want to hear is, well, what about Omar Archer? Well, what about Omar Archer? Like, why if Minnis does something that doesn't make sense, do you hold that up as an example of, Minnis should talk about what he did that didn't make sense before he talks about what I'm doing that didn't make sense? Because the electorate already dealt with Minnis, right? We already weighed him in the balance. We judged him accordingly, and we move forward. In terms of y'all spending government money, it's going to be a problem. Let me also say this, and this is unrelated, but when I think of the topic of, are we getting value for money? And I'm trying to be fair. I'm not trying to be mean-spirited. But I'm trying to consider what's best for the Bahamas. Does anyone know what's going on with the Ministry of the Environment? Like, at all? Like, between Von Miller and Basil McIntosh, does anybody have a clue? I don't. I've heard from Miller about the cutting down the pine trees, et cetera, like this. I've seen him going around with, I think, at the Defense Force it was. You know what I mean? But I don't get a clear sense of anything that's going on with the Ministry of the Environment from them. And we just tabled legislation to talk about carbon credit trading. And I have yet to hear any remark from any of the environment ministers about any portion or aspect of it. Now, I could be wrong. And maybe there's some information out there that I didn't see, or there's a report I didn't see. But I find it very curious, and I'm not going to lie to you, somewhat concerning that both ministers of the environment, who don't have a lot of experience to do with the environment, as far as I'm aware, I could be wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, are not speaking to these issues. So we have very serious climate issues that are going on. We have issues surrounding oil drilling, etc. But I don't hear the environment ministers talking about it. And that's just in my vein of, are we getting value for money? A. B. Are we giving people jobs just to give them jobs? Or are we giving them jobs because we know they can do this job? And that's my concern. Anyway, let me do some text messages. Says you guys are jealous and envious of Rodney. 60,000 plus benefits. Yes, jealous, jealous, jealous. I'm going to help you, dude. I'm going to help you, whoever this is. Just because you bad mine and you small potatoes, and when somebody else gets something, you become a hater and you become jealous, don't mean that everybody kick it like you. Some of us can see other people getting money and not have a problem with it, because what's for you is for you, and what's coming to me is coming to me. So just because you get jealous when you see people get money because you small potatoes, don't mean that's how all of us are. All right? I ain't hating. If Monker's doing the job, give him the money, no problem. But you're not going to try to personalize it in terms of, oh, y'all are jealous, to try to shut down any argument about are we properly spending public funds, right? So realize that not everybody's like you. You bad mind, you small potatoes, you see someone getting a couple grand, and you start turning red, and you feel everybody bad mind like you. Everybody's not, right? You like that, because that's just you, right? But everybody ain't you, thankfully. Says, hey, Juan, we need to not drop our guard concerning COVID-19. I see there's been a slight increase in cases spiking again. I mean, you barking up the wrong tree about COVID-19. I ain't gonna lie to you. 20 cases don't bother me. I do not see any huge outbreak of hospitalizations due to COVID-19. And frankly, you could have 1,000 cases of COVID-19. If, in fact, people are not getting sick to the point they need to be hospitalized and dying, then I don't understand what the hubbub is about, all right? So far what we understand is the variant that's dominant out there is not that dangerous, okay? Do we throw all caution to the wind? I don't think so, but I think a lot of this stuff we're doing now doesn't make sense any longer. So I don't see double-digit COVID. It's like, oh, God, the COVID. We know that it's different, all right, than it was in 2020, early 2021, all right? This says the response that PM Davis gave relative to the Monker appointment brought back memories of minutes in his response to some of the questions the press would put to him. Here's the issue, and I don't know who asked him this question, but I'll say here's the issue, and I don't blame Davis for this, because usually when you give the political figure the easy way out, they'll take it. So he was asked, I don't know who asked him, he was asked to respond to criticism of Monker's appointment. And he asked, who's been critical? I've only heard the prime minister, the former prime minister. And he responded to the former prime minister's criticism. Now, I don't know who asked him the question. Had that been me, I would have said, sir, aside from the former prime minister, there have been hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of reactions on social media that view this appointment negatively or in a particular light. And that's what he should be responding to. Not menace. But if you give the politician the easy out to just respond to menace, because if I'm just responding to menace, I'm just going to bring up any stupid thing menace did, and then we're done with it. But if I got to respond to the electorate, the everyday citizen who's going, hey, man, are y'all spending our money wisely? Then I think you get a different response. Now, the politician could expound beyond menace, but what I found is they're gonna take the easy way out. Okay? If you don't like kind of box them in, they're gonna go left swiftly. It says, Juan, what's so amazing is that your former colleague Levon tried to justify Monker's appointment by comparing him to the former FNM senator. It's revealed how twisted some persons are. Monker, in my view, is not the right person for the job. Issue alone reveals that. I mean, that's perfectly fair. You could think that's not the right thing. Now, I don't agree with Levin doing the comparison thing. Again, I'm not tripping off what the FNM did. And because the FNM did something that didn't make sense, I certainly don't expect you to go, well, hey, we're allowed a certain amount of things that don't make sense either. But if Levin thinks Monker's qualified for the job, that's Levin's opinion. I can't change that for him. All right? He's seen all that I've seen and more, so he makes his own determination. But I don't agree with his comparison to saying, well, the FNM senator got appointed. I don't agree with that. It's a specious argument. Says, seriously, Man Juan, why don't we stop this nonsense? The minister has a right to make appointments. I don't have a problem with Rodney Monker per se, but I would like him and others appointed to reveal their qualifications and what their approach will be to get results that will justify them being appointed. Taxpayers will be paying him. We have to stop tolerating this foolishness. It's fiscally irresponsible. And I agree. If you're saying, okay, I just think, you know, Monker's a guy in the community and he's gonna talk to people, and it's like, then you should go. There's 100 people I could give you like that, right? Now, if you come to me and say, and Wayne Monroe's saying that he's an independent contractor, XYZ, if you come to me and say, look, Ronnie Monker came to me, he had a proposal about how to deal with crime in his neighborhood. I looked at it. It seems effective. We want to implement it. We want to see how it can work. And we're going to go through it and try to get some results out of it. Even if we're just getting results out of where Monker's at. Where's Monker at? Black Village? Even if we're getting results just where Monker's at, he has a plan. He's articulated X, Y, Z. If it's just, he's my homeboy. I want him around the table when we're talking. That's another kettle of fish. All right, we got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Do coffee
your way.
Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Burger King Nassau is bringing you the delicious taste of Philly cheese in three mouth-watering varieties. Enjoy the great taste of Philly cheese with your choice of flame-grilled beef, crispy chicken, or try out BK's plant-based beef version. BK's Philly cheese has all the fixings you love, including lots of melted cheese, caramelized onions, bell peppers, and mushrooms on a sesame seed hoagie bun. Try the new Philly cheese as a combo or as part of the King's Feast at any of BK's seven locations. Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Children are a blessing and should be treated with love and care. They deserve safe, stable, and nurturing relationships, a supportive family environment, and positive social networks. Mothers, fathers, teachers, aunties, uncles, neighbors, Bahamas, let's do our part to stop the physical, sexual, and mental abuse of our children. Make the calls, file the reports, save precious lives. Let's join hands and hearts and say no more to child abuse. This message was brought to you by CFAL, growing wealth for future generations.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
We know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options. We're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Breakfast just got better at Wendy's. Introducing the Breakfast Biggie Bag. Enjoy a double sausage muffin with two square sausage patties, a freshly cracked egg, and cheese served on a toasted English muffin, a medium waffle fries, and an orange juice for only $5.25, fat inclusive. Add an apple pie for just $1 more.
Say what?
At Wendy's, better breakfast is all day. Offers valid in participating locations. Wendy's, different inside and out.
The city of Miami is waiting for you, and Island Pay wants to take you there. Yes, you heard that correctly. Island Pay is giving away 5 priceless trips to Miami for 2 people just for using your MasterCard prepaid card. Every $30 you spend gets you a chance to win, whether it's on groceries, gas, diapers, clothes, gifts, online, and others. It's all counting and getting you closer to an unforgettable experience in Miami. Don't have an Island Pay MasterCard yet? No problem. Get yours today. and Island Pay will give you $15 back. Island Pay, a better way to pay, a better way to win. Promotion running March 21st to May 18th, 2022. Conditions apply. Visit islandpay.com to learn more.
Happy anniversary, My Gateway. Did you know that you can request and pay for over 35 government services on mygateway.gov.bs? Sign up today and access government services online with efficiency and simplicity. It's a celebration of a year of collective success on our digital transformation journey. My Gateway, making government work for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. We were talking about the recent Moncker appointment, but to me it's not just about Moncker. Although people have their varying opinions of him and they look at it and they go, well, what's going on? My thing is, are we getting value for money? Are we just giving people jobs just to give them jobs? And then trying to retroactively make up reasons that seem like they make sense? Or are we actually taking a methodical, sensible approach to this in terms of who really can make an impact? And this is why we should have them on board. And those are the questions. And I think if you look at it publicly, a lot of it at this point is going to be, it looks like you're just giving people jobs. Let's go to the phone lines. We can talk 323-6232. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. The text line is 422-4796, 422-4796. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Revolution.
Good afternoon. How are you doing, brother?
I'm good. How's it going?
Well, it's good. You know, like we say in the CNN, nobody hating on nobody, right? And, you know, I try talking powers sometimes, but the fact of the matter is one that you said the key word again a while ago. They said this country broke. But look like the Brad Davis and the people he hired and everybody, where they're supposed to find money to pay only people. The civil service is already overstaffed by 30,000 people. Mm. Sometimes you go to some of these government offices and they're jiving around, they're trying to pay bill and they're taking a long time to get into paper. And 30,000 need to go home. And all them people who don't know what's 75 and 80, and they wouldn't go home. They got a system plug up one. This is why I tell all my schoolmates and all the people who will be 16 next year, go take early pension. I don't want the time is, if you're 65, no money can be there. Because both PLCs and FM take the national insurance money and do all kind of things and don't collect the taxpayers money. You know, nobody hating on Rodney Moncker. And Rodney Moncker is a distant cousin of mine. He's a Moncker from Cat Island. So I ain't hating him. But my thing is, I want to see with him and my boy, Carlos, you know, what are you going to come over the hill and tell young boys and girls? What are you going to tell people? What a Christmas country that people want. I'd be there every day with my brother. Suffering. Getting talked to death. Thanks for taking my call, my brother.
Okay, bro. Appreciate it. Yeah, my whole thing, and I need someone to come here and explain it to me, and maybe that's Wayne Monroe, maybe someone else, like the violence interrupter concept. I need to understand that better. And exactly what particular type of violence they're going to try to stop. Or interrupt, as it were. Good afternoon. Welcome to The Revolution.
Afternoon, Warren.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm just astounded that a little government contract to get ministers to talk about transparency. Like the IMF loan, $200 million he gave away. He ain't explained that yet.
Minister knows what he's doing.
Pardon?
I said Minister knows just what he's doing because...
Just like starting up, putting gas on a little bit of fire and a little government contract going before he said it was getting one.
And he got the reaction he wanted.
Yeah. Then give him a taxi plate. Papa gave him a JP. Now Greer gave him a little something to do. That ain't no money compared to what they gave him away. I was talking to head of heart, a lawyer. We can trade the ground a month to clean up garbage in Africa, head of heart, and came for some it. Like, they get millions.
Right.
And he worrying about a Rodney Moncker. What have been doing it for 45 years? What did Bundy mean? In fact, when Mandela came here, he didn't invite Rodney Monk to this house and tell Mandela, Rodney Monk is an activist, freedom fighter. It's a picture with Pinlin, Rodney Monica, and Nelson Mandela. And that's how much Rodney means to us. And that's why he got best talks about in the whole Bahamas. Rodney Monica is unique. He's very, you know, eccentric. And well, like, minutes that make up a storm, maybe Rodney Monica walked and be in town with Cam. I seen him. Well, we scared to drive. Rodney would walk.
Okay. Well, he certainly went for a supple skin with all this lotion you're applying today to him. You should call him and tell him. We got a phone call. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And my issue goes beyond Minnis, right? So if I start every conversation with, well, look at what Minnis did. Well, I don't care about what he did, all right? We dealt with him, okay? So that he did things that weren't supposed to maybe be done or that we didn't like is immaterial to what we are looking at that you did. Okay? So we can't just hold up somebody else and go, but this person did it. That's just the weakest thing I've ever heard in my life. And if you're just responding to the prime minister, that's what you're going to do. But it goes way beyond the prime minister, even though he brought it up. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hey, how's it going?
Fine, thank you. Listen, I have a feeling that people are missing the point. It's not that people are hating on Rodney Monka or measuring the difference between Mr. Davis and Mr. Minnis. It's about the qualifications.
Right.
Have he ever, in his past, done anything to disrupt violence that made a point?
You know what? I have no idea.
Exactly. Because he seemed to me, now I maybe get at me for this, but I don't care. He seemed to me like to be one that actually starts violence. Because he is out there digging in your personal business, beating up on persons who don't want to let him have his way, and so on and so forth. So that don't seem to me like a disruptor. That actually seemed to me like an instigator.
I mean, I would, to be fair to Monker, he's more loud than violent. I don't see him as being violent at all.
No, he's not going to be violent. He already said that. He's not going to be violent. However, he will be the trigger to start the violence. Because I'm afraid that because of his mouth and he seems to don't have control over it, that he will speak out against, tell Johnny that, listen, and we're here with the police. Jimmy already told us you have the guns. Jimmy pointed us out to where you put the guns. Mm-hmm. So don't play like you ain't. That's the type of person he seemed to be to me because that's what I've been guessing from him. I've watched his show time and time again.
Yeah.
And that's what he seemed to be, the type of person that could point you out.
Okay.
You know, so I'm afraid of him being a part of that. And I feel like that's going to come back and bite Mr. Davis and those right where they don't want to be bitten.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I appreciate it. I, you know, again, I don't see Monker as a violent person at all or instigating violence at all. And as I will say for, the sixth, seventh time, I don't rock with Rodney Monker. But I can assess his behavior and say I don't see him as being a violent person. He's more loud than anything. But I don't know how this all worked out. Like, I don't know if he went to them and said, look, I got a plan, X, Y, Z. Give me a contract, and I'll help you implement this plan. Then that's fine. But if you just go, you know what, I want him around the table, and you're paying him and all this, then that's a different story. And someone should really explain the distinction. Because Latre, again, you're my homie, but, you know, just telling me he's lived in crime-infested communities and all this stuff, it's not, that doesn't do anything for me. All right, that's the lived reality for most people in the inner cities over the past 15 years. All right, one more call real quick, and then we'll go to we'll go to a break. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hi, good afternoon, Juan. How are you, man?
I'm great. How's it going?
Awesome. Listen, Juan, we have foreigners coming to this country every day as consultants, and they carry buku loads of money out of this country, right?
Okay.
I'm calling you to ask you today, Rodney Monka, we all know him. He is from amongst us. We know what Rodney Monk is good for. We know what he contributed to our society in this country, in this nation. I'm calling to ask, why not Rodney Monk? Why we're talking about $5,000 a month? Why not Rodney Monk? Why?
Why? But wait. What do you mean? Why not? I got to give you examples why we shouldn't do it, or there should be an example of why they did do it, because that's confusing to me. What do you mean, why not? I mean, why not spend my public money? Because I don't authorize you to spend my public money unless you have a good reason to it. You said, why not, Munger?
Okay. If you
that's not a valid question to me.
If you listen to me, Mr. McCartney, I started out by saying...
Why not 1,000 other people?
Say again?
Why not Steve McKinney? Why not Daryl Miller? Why not Wendell Jones?
Okay,
why not Mike Smith?
But
why not
Ed
Bethel?
But Mr. McCartney, all of these people are persons, these names that you're calling are persons who have played pivotal roles in our nation. And these are people who are being offered other things every day, all day. But nobody's making noise about it. I'm saying, why is everybody making such a big deal? We know what Rodney Monk is good for. We know what he stands for. We know what he has been advocating against, which is crime. We know that he's been into the inner cities and the communities and everything, combating crime and talking to the gangsters and saying you shouldn't kill, hang the murderers and all. We know what Rodney Monk is all
about. You're using this we quite liberally.
We as Bahamians.
You're using that loosely. I don't know that that's the consensus among Bahamians. I'll be honest with you.
We as Bahamians who know the Rodney Monk that we're speaking about. Uh-huh. So I'm saying, Mr. McCartney, in all honesty, I mean, as a civilized, sensible behemoth. And I'm saying, why not Rodney Monker, though? I mean, why is it that because it is Rodney Monker, it's a problem? Why not him?
I think because Monker was on Wayne Monroe's show for a long time, and that there seems to be an issue that it's too close for comfort is one of the things. And the other thing is people wonder what the specific qualifications are. But... if you are talking about spending my VAT money and your best response is why not spend it on this person's contract, then we have to have a whole other set of conversations about your fiduciary duty to the Bahamian public. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. So we were talking about the Rodney Monker thing, and a part of me wants to go, why are we talking about Rodney Monker? But another part of me says, you know what? This is actually instructive on the search for government accountability in terms of how we're spending our money. So to me, the issue is, you know... Monker can't do the job. The issue is, I have no bloody idea what job it is he's supposed to be doing or what plan of action there is for that. What is a violence interrupter and how does that work? Nobody's explained any of this to me. Do you wear a vest? Do you have a whistle? What is it? I don't get it. You have like a hat with a light on it? I don't... what is he supposed to be doing other than go to meetings and talk to them. Now, as the man said, you get lots of foreign consultants come. No problem. But you know what? I need them to be qualified as well. Yeah, and to justify why we're spending money on them. I really, really do. All right. Now, if your argument is, well, we spent money on these other things we didn't think we should have spent money on, so why not spend it on this? Then, you know, I don't think that really holds water, you know? Like, if you want to make a purchase, like, let's say on your job, right? And so government work's different than, you know, a lot of normal places. You want to make a purchase for your business or on your job, you have to explain this, right? Little old guardian, you gotta explain that. I can't go to the financial controller and go, you know what, I want to get X, Y, Z. And they're gonna go, you need to explain the justification for it. You need to show a quote for it. You need to show another comparable quote for it. And help us to understand how affecting this purchase is going to drive the company forward. I don't just get to go, well, you know, I just want to spend the money. It doesn't work like that here. Certainly shouldn't work in government. Someone says, Juan, did not a talk show host as Guardian Radio serve as a former education minister? Hypocrisy much. A host at Guardian Radio serves as a former education minister. Unless you have a name for me, no, that's not the case. Not that I know of. Are you talking about Jeff? No, Jeff was, he left the talk show to go run for office, not he came to do a talk show after he left office. And I don't see a problem with him. What does talk show host, how are these comparable things? Because they're in the same, like, specter of profession? I don't get it. What are you talking about? Like, how is, if you're a talk show host and you go become education minister, firstly, this speaks to what I'm trying to say, right? So if Jeff Lloyd, I assume you're talking about Jeff Lloyd, but Jeff Lloyd left the talk show to be an education minister. Jeff has been in education for decades and decades and decades. He was a teacher. He ran an institution. Do you understand? Like, talk shows was just one of the things he did. Not, I went to school to go be a talk show host and this is all I do. Jeff's also an attorney. You know, so you gotta stop making these specious arguments. I mean, they may work with some people who can, like, think critically through these things, but that doesn't make any sense to me. So what, we should not say anything because Jeff, who's eminently qualified to be in cabinet, because Jeff went and became education minister, that means that any decision the Davis administration makes that involves anyone doing a talk show, I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't understand where you guys come from. Like, I can be fair and critically analyze, but when you guys, this petty assessment of things, right, as in terms of, oh, you're jealous, or I don't, what are you talking about? Like, I don't operate that way. This says, the Moncker issue goes to the root of governance, perception of conflicts, attitude to accountability, and prudence in spending taxpayers' money, especially in an environment of limited resources. Exactly. Because we've lost the threat. I haven't lost it. Some other people have lost it. Y'all don't like my, I saw one person, y'all don't like him because he black, right? Or he ain't a foreigner. And y'all don't, what are y'all talking about? You sit around and make justifications for spending government money because of who's from over the hill or not. Come on. Like, what do you do? That's not how we do this. Like, we explain why we're spending government money. Not go, well, why the hell not? It doesn't work that way. Okay? Further to that, if the prime minister can come before the parliament and tell us what the head of the food distribution task force was making, which I have no problem with him doing so. I do want to know how much she was making. Then I don't see why it's some huge issue to ask the government, why did you hire him? How much money is he making? All right? That's just government accountability. It says, Juan, I agree with you 100%. What's an ambassador at large? Because that's what a former PLP MP, Ron Pinder, got. So we just make it ambassadors now. What's the salary? I don't know. If anyone could be an ambassador, it'd be Ron Pinder, right? You know? Juan, please play the sound clip with the PM speaking about hiring Rodney Monker. Listen to what was said. I haven't heard the clip, the sound. I read the story, though. I read what he said. This says... the difference between the PLP and FNM is the same movie, different cast. It says, look at the trend of the Davis administration. Every PLP member of parliament got a post. Just about every everybody in Christie's cabinet got a post. Now every high-profile crony is getting a piece of the pie, a super large and expensive bureaucracy. No excuse that the country's broke in future union negotiations. And that is part of the equation, too, where you go, how do you tell people that we don't have money to give you raises, to give you increments, to give you insurance, etc.? You know what I mean? How do you do that in an environment where when you want to hire who you want to hire, money's no thing? It becomes difficult. And I'm not saying that to try to sway anyone in any particular direction. I'm telling you how people feel. All right? People look at the government and they go, y'all pay who y'all want to pay. And qualifications are secondary, apparently, to connections. And that's what they see. I'm not making this up. I'm telling you what they see. And at the end of the day, you could try to blame Guardian Radio or the Guardian newspaper or Tribune or whatever like that. But people are going to make up their minds based on how you made them feel. So be mindful of how you make people feel. It says, the recent voice note with an infamous PLP crony ranting about not receiving contracts and making political threats points to the fact that there are many who would not have anything unless they live off the government. PM Brave must have sense with this cookie jar. Shame on that crony. This country won't be any better. Shame, shame. Get a life, you cronies. You guys are not nationalists, but rather individualists. Yeah, we talked about this last week, and people were mad at me. It says, Juan, I'm 55 and I've never voted. That's because of how things are in this country. I have a company that provides services that's in direct conflict with the contracts that are held for political party cronies. I used to have issues with this, but I simply gave up and concentrated my efforts on the private sector. To me, it's life in the Bahamas, so I moved on and live with it. Respect. I feel you. I'm going to say this. I don't know y'all name, but if I find out your name, I'm calling it. I don't care how you feel about it. Whoever y'all gave the garbage collection contract to for Village Road, that ain't it, man. Okay? My garbage gets picked up once every 10 days. I know, McCartney, you live in this world with all the white people where you expect the garbage to be picked up before disease and rodents and lunatic raccoons descend upon your neighborhood. Yes, I'm sorry. I live in my crazy white man fantasy world where the trash can get picked up twice a week, because that's exactly what was happening during the Ingram administration. Whoever y'all gave the contract to pick up trash on Village Road, please either help them figure out how to do their job or go give the contract back to Impact Waste. This says, Juan, you're not the only one thinking that about the environment minister. However, McIntosh is a civil engineer with that technical background. That's fine. I mean, let me know what you're up to, though. Let me know what's going on. We got a phone call. Let's do it. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hello. How are you doing, Mr.
McCartney? I'm great. How's it going?
All right. Now, I hear a lot of people call your show, but obviously the millennials need a voice.
Right.
Now, from the start of the government, I noticed he was given three wishes like Jamie. But what I don't understand was going on is that majority of the people in the government who get these roles and these ambassadorships are people who already sell out to the government from now on.
Okay.
Now, if they could go to Dubai and if they could go all these places, but people still scrapping to make ends meet, people still going to NIB, don't know where the next meal is coming from. They lavish in these coat suits, prancing up the parliament and don't know what's going on. Now, this is the crazy fox. A couple months before the election, they come to every house trying to smile up at everyone. Then 2 months to 6 months, when they get in government, you barely can see them at the constituency office. Now, all of that grandizement and all of that good chairs that you had for people in the constituency meetings, where did that all go away? We have to come to a point that we don't look at colors anymore. I'm a millennial. I'm actually 28 years old. For me, seriously, I don't know what's going on, because when we graduate from UB or BTVI, we still don't get a chance because these people who stood in front of us have the baton and they're not willing to pass it on in the relay race. I was working an internship at the Ministry of Health. They laughed at people who had more certificates than them. And they're not going to give it away to someone young because they're saying that, oh, this person coming for my job. But the sad thing about it, people like the late Bernard Notch, who was still in Parliament, he died, and the young man took over Travis Robinson. So when they appoint these ambassadorships, governor generals in their 50s, 60s, and they're promising all these things, it's not coming now, you know. But my next generation, 40 years from now, I will be dead and gone. But they have to suffer selling out this land, people, and not telling anyone what to do about it. All this arrogance I'm talking about, oh, you guests, like, come on, man. I'm tired of that foolishness. Because trust me, they already have it in their pockets. They have contracts. They have verbal agreements. They have all of these things. And they find it hard just to employ young youth. I feel no reason why youth head to Canada or America, because there's no opportunities in the Bahamas for someone who's young. All of the people who's talking about they going to give the youth the jobs and the PYL, aid, and all these different things, I've yet seen it come. So we'll just see how this goes. Thank you.
All right, I appreciate it. I hear your frustration, my brother. I got to tell you, I'm there with you, you know? So it takes a ton of hard work and some luck and some divine favor to get yourself something around here if you're not politically connected. You know, that's just what it is. You know, and it's not fair, but, you know, it is what it is. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. McGarty.
Hey, how's it going, my brother?
Yeah, the thing is, that young man, welcome to the club. You know, I with him, and he's shaking with indignation, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You can hear it. And so that's sad, you know what I mean? Because he knows the outlook, and he sees the political legacy. But, Mr. McCartney, a quick comment on the Rodney Moncrief. You know, I don't get into politics, right? But as a young man, I know Moncrief obviously to come in the inner city in the impoverished areas and talk with some of the ghetto youths. Real talk. But if the hierarchies in the gang, you know, if they can't stop a crime interrupter, I don't know how he's going to do it, because really, I only talk to them. All right, like the other day was, you know, by the homestead down the road from your grandma's house, by the opposite shop on Andres Avenue, right?
I got you.
And the shooting took place.
Yeah.
So, you know, the thing is, I knew the guy who got shot. I think his grandma's my cousin, and I knew the guy who the police have locked up with. So I know all of these guys. So I'm being affected by this. I was actually up in the opposite shop when the incident was going on. So, you know, this is how it could happen to anybody, you know. But the thing is, I wanted something you said very important, and the young man touched on it too. I think some of the Minister of Environment. Mm-hmm. So I remember with the Lincoln being clipped, circulated on social media, right? Mm-hmm. He was saying that the Minister of Environment was actually blaming the Bahamian people. Now, I don't want to hear nothing about Bahamian, and Bahamian and all that. What I'm saying is, those people on Cowpen Road who ever selling those charcoal, right? Mm-hmm. The question is, the government is lousy. The Minister of Environment is a disgrace, because all they have to do is ask people where they're getting these charcoals from. That's why we need a gas chromatograph mass spectrometer. In other words, a computerized chemical analyzer. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is, it's simple to find out where they're getting this coal from. I don't want to hear nothing about carbon emissions and at least it's the same thing as debt for nature swap. The government is lousy because they're allowing these people to get away with this for years now, Mr. McCartney, selling charcoal out of our own resources. All right? So this is ridiculous. They must do something about it. There's no mystery as to where this charcoal is coming from, all right? And so another quick comment, what I want you to do for me is just Google the practicality of calculating CO2 emissions. This is another farce, just like the pandemic. What you see, Mr. McCarthy, what happens is the international community have not even arrived at a consensus on how to do this. They have difference in scientists are doing the same scenario and arriving at different emissions. Also, they don't have, they haven't came to consensus on the multipliers to use. Whether to use 2.3, 1.3 something. They haven't, the multipliers then, they haven't got the consensus on the multipliers to calculate these emissions. This is where it's at. This is all a financial construct, all right? And I just want to touch this before I go, because in listening to Spuddy and the DJs on 100 Jams on Sunday, all of those guys, they trying to keep my sanity. I remember that the young lady, Megan Smith, who died in the hospital, I don't even know her, beautiful young lady, with having the birth of the twins. And so that I was so upset about that, that I just, what happened is I wanted to see who was actually going to mention it. Mm. And then I was upset. And I was in a particular inner city area, and I was having a discussion with some females, and they was actually giving me stories about how they were treated in the maternity ward and some of the narratives that were passed to them by some of the nurses. So maybe the government could take some money and try to pay these nurses and make these people comfortable who have to deal with people. Because I trying to beg one of the young ladies to come on and explain to the public what she was told. Have a good day. Bless her.
All right. Thanks, my brother. Good afternoon. Hello. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My God, how are you?
I'm good. How's it going?
Well, wonderful. Wonderful. That gentleman, not particularly the one that called in just before him.
Uh-huh.
He was full of despair.
Yeah.
You know, you sympathize with him and everything.
Absolutely.
But, you know, going to BTVI and University of Bahamas, is an accomplishment. Okay, as an inner city person, I've been to both. Okay, and I'm working inside the hotel industry. I've found fortitude and stuff like that. My intention at this moment, following yourself, is to give him inspiration and to encourage him that the challenge there is hope. Okay, we cannot dwell on the negative. Yes, there is despair a little, but it's only temporary. We're going to move on because you've got that in you as a young 28-year-old man. Okay, you must build yourself. You must hold it firm. Okay, no matter what's around you, that God that you believe in, that God that Mama told you about, okay, he is still there. There is still hope, you know, and press forward because it's going to get better, man.
Yeah. Absolutely. But I'll tell you, man, listen, it's frustrating, you know, because I'm at the point where I'm still trying to, I'm by no means independently wealthy. If I don't work, I don't eat, right, at this point. So I'm at the point that I'm still trying to establish my retirement and take care of my family, you know, as we move forward into the future, you know, save something for them as well. And also looking to see what the future looks like for my kids. And unless something drastic changes, I really can't see an argument that I'm going to make to them that could convince them that they should come back here and build something and have something. If I have something to give them, I could make that argument more easily. But in terms of right now, here's the argument for why people should return home, XYZ. It's difficult to make. Not because it's easy to live everywhere else. It's not, right? So a lot of Bahamians will tell you that, oh, it's easy to go to states to do XYZ. You know, it's sometimes easier to get things in the United States of America in terms of property, in terms of assets. Right now, housing prices are comparable in the United States to the Bahamas, and even higher. And while salaries on average are probably higher in major cities, the cost of living is quite high as well. So, you know, there's an argument to be made that you go out there in the world and you try to make your best and put your best foot forward, as opposed to sometimes you stay here in the Bahamas and you spin your wheels. But there's also an argument to make for economic expansion and diversification in terms of the way we make money in this country that really is what we need to be talking about. Yeah? Let's go to a phone call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Mr. McCartney.
How's it going?
Great, 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 my brother. I just wanted to more or less tie in two of your previous callers, Scrooge and the young man that I called before him.
Right.
They should be making the same point.
52.
Frustratingly so about the lack of opportunities that exist.
Yeah.
But I understand Scrooge's point as well in terms of the, what's it called, the crime interrupter?
Right, yeah.
Violence interrupter. Mm. I mean, we were talking to a person, or just listening, I should say, to a person who literally fits the mold of a person that we could have put in that position as a young person, as well as a former gang leader with a considerable sphere of influence now. But hey, that's another subject.
And that, and you know, that's my question. Not to cut you off. That's my question. Is
right.
Did you field like this wide array of candidates, and you came down to this decision, or did you just go, I won't give him a job?
Right.
Yeah, you know.
That's an interesting point.
Right. Like, did you really like go canvass the people, everyone out there?
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
And then secondly, I want to also harp on what you were just communicating when you were saying about the lack of opportunities that seemingly may not appear to be here,
mm-hmm.
and then comparing it to the U.S., where in some cases there the cost or standard of living is much higher than being here,
mm-hmm.
and the other things that go along with immigration policy, finding opportunities, employment, taxation, and all of this other stuff. So to the young man that was saying earlier, speaking about the Bahamas and comparing it to the U.S., he must remember that in some cases you cannot use a blanket ideology and how you view living in the United States. Because if I was to say to him right now, I'm going to put you in California at their minimum wage and leave you to the environment, find yourself, I guarantee you in 2 months he'll be back in the Bahamas.
Yeah, it's not just you snap your fingers and these things happen. Like, you can find opportunities, and it's easier to find, say, apartments and some living arrangements. But in terms of building a life, I don't see it as being that much easier. The level of application that you would put in the Bahamas would often get you just as far as the level of application you put in many large cities in the United States. Not the case for everywhere. It's a massive country, but it's not just snap your fingers, you're in America, and it's you're rich. You know, it just doesn't work like that. My wife has a cousin who lives in San Francisco. She works for Amazon, right? And she paid $500,000 for a 500 square foot apartment in San Francisco.
Hold on. Say that again.
This says she paid $500,000
For a
500 square foot apartment in San Francisco. And the homeowner's fees are as much as the mortgage. 500 square feet.
Wow.
Right? So this idea that it's so easy everywhere, I don't buy, you know? But I do understand that you may be able to get quicker opportunities. But let me help you with something, though. And someone's making this a point for me. If you don't have no education, if you don't have no connections in the U.S., you're going to be working at Popeyes.
Yeah.
You understand me?
Yep.
They don't fork nothing over to you over there.
No.
You know, I live there. Trust me. I know.
Yeah.
Nowhere. You know what I mean? They don't fork anything over to you. So, again, you know, you got to look at these things realistically. It is discouraging at home, and we need to do more for at home. But the dream they're selling that everywhere is better, I don't know that I buy that. I know what I see with a lot of Bahamians who have left and went to, say, Canada, and they don't have a tertiary education. They're not making the money like that.
No.
You know? No. Like, they're struggling.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. Like, I'm not going to tell you don't go find your future or fortune elsewhere, right? But you got to start off by being qualified. You got to start off with some education. Right, and certificates. If you don't have it in the States, it's going to be a hard slog for you, Papa. And it's going to be even harder for the foreigner because you don't have a support system like you do here. And I'm not saying that to discourage anybody or to downplay it. There's lots of people who've been, who've gone to other countries and have been very successful. There's no doubt about that. But at the same time, I'm looking to expand what's going on in the Bahamas. So that I can tell my kids, here's the real opportunity for it. Here's where we go, trying to build something to give to them like that. In terms of let them go and you're going to be successful just wandering out there in the States. I don't know about all that. I know guys, and I'll be real with you. I know grown men who couldn't retire because their grown children still needed them to pay their rent in the United States of America, their rent, their car note, etc. I know people who are retirement age in the Bahamas who have children who are married and working in the United States, and the parents in the Bahamas still have to help them every month to live. So there's no utopia anywhere out there. All right? You're going to have to work wherever you go, hard. You're going to have to apply yourself. You're going to need some sort of qualifications. That's what I observe. And in the Bahamas, you know, you actually can build wealth pretty quickly if you apply yourself to these same hotels y'all don't like, right? So guys them who are like doing really well, like Ronnie Duncan, PLP and all this, he started off working in a hotel. The same job y'all don't want. He's now a business owner, deals with celebrity clientele. So, you know, there a way can be made, certainly. But it's a difficult argument to make to tell your children, well, stay here and figure it out, as opposed to, here's the path you need to take. Let me tell you what you need to do. Do X, Y, Z. If you do these things right, you're going to end up successful. One more call, and we go to a break. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey. Good day.
Hey, good day. Rodney. How's it going?
Everything good, by the grace of God.
Excellent.
It's Vincent.
Hey, what's up, Vince? How's it going?
Everything going successful, man.
Excellent. You got your checkup appointment straight, or what?
Well, I got to get a surgery now, but you're waking on that. You ain't gonna be right now.
Okay, well, let me know when I can assist you.
I can talk to you about that.
Yeah, for sure.
Some later date.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. And I got one or two things I just wanna share and put out there. One thing I wanna find out, right? Concerning this thing with Rodney Munger and the crime issue and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I can let people know, right, that one thing you can't do, can't stop crime. You cannot stop crime. We can't stop crime. But what we can do is probably slow it down. And I would like for somebody to come on your show and tell us what qualified somebody to stop crime. I would like to do that.
Yeah, I would like to understand as well.
I would like to know that person. What qualified us to stop crime? And another thing, concerning the young gentleman with, say, 28 years old,
mm-hmm.
and to me, it's not like he's standing and relying on the government, right? I'm 56. I can be 57. And all my 56, 57 years, all my years on this earth, I've never one day rely and depend not only on the government, on nobody, so to say, to help me to go where I need to go in this life. Cartney, especially these young men, if these young men will realize they have something in them, and that what they have in them will help them to do whatever they want to and to achieve in this life once there's something positive.
Right.
I literally am paying. I live in by myself.
Right.
I pay bills. I do all these things. I don't rely and depend on government. I have a minister. We just finished talking with him the other day. That's my boy, my Buddha Bai. One Miller.
Okay, gotcha, right, yeah.
Yeah, that's my boy.
Good.
But I don't rely and depend on him because, like I tell him, I don't care how much you say you have integrity. Brother, you ain't doing what you're supposed to do concerning too many people.
Right.
Who does he call and out on you? And you know what has been my problem with these fellas? And the young fella say it, the young gentleman say it too, right, McCartney?
Mm-hmm.
When it's time for election, you ain't need no meeting with them or no appointment date to see them. But now when they're in power, all of a sudden, you need an appointment to see them. I get a problem with that.
corner side, I don't get a Titan gold in the U.S. I have a problem with that. I don't need nobody, because when you was doing the campaign, I didn't need no appointment to see you. Mm. So, anyhow.
Okay, well, thanks, Vince. Keep me posted about the thing. Two things about what he said. Firstly, with the young man who called, I didn't get the sense that he's looking for a handout, you know. I get the sense that he's frustrated. And it's a frustrating situation sometimes, particularly when you're a young person who works and you're trying to move forward. So when you look at the market out here, right, and we're not talking about versus America or whatever like that. I'm just talking about living in the Bahamas, all right? Let's say you make a salary that is a decent, is a livable wage, and livable wage, UB Public Policy Institute says about $630 a week, okay? If you make that, you still have trouble forward planning for the future. So you're going to have to make what the Public Policy Institute considers a livable wage. Your spouse or partner will have to make that as well. And then you got to play this game at the master level in order to try come up. And that's how it feels sometimes. Because watch this. And the barriers to entry for home ownership are high often in the United States as well. Didn't used to be, but now there's a lot of stuff going on. You know, you go to the bank. The show before I came on was talking about purchasing real estate, repossess homes, et cetera. You know how much corn you got to have saved up in order to, like, comfortably purchase a home and then deal with the – then you got to deal with the mortgage. Then you got to deal with the insurance. Then you got to deal yourself with all the home repairs. You deal yourself with all the utilities. You got to figure out how you what school you're going to send your kids to, how they're going to get there. XYZ, you still want to enjoy yourself. I want to go away every now and then, but I don't want a massive mountain of credit card debt. It sometimes can be daunting living in the Bahamas, even if you're making a decent wage. Now, take that daunting existence. I'm not talking about just broke people. I'm talking about working class people. Take how daunting they find things and then have the government giving out jobs like candy all around you, and you start to go, you know what? Y'all are not focused. There are things that I believe you could be concentrating on to make my life easier that has nothing to do with your rewarding political cronies just because you want them to have a job. And so I see you giving out jobs like candy, right? And who knows what comes with them, government cars, etc., increments, gratuities, right? And here I am trying to figure out how to afford the VAT on my mortgage, my purchase, right? My home purchase. But yet y'all just give out jobs like candy and then go, why not? And like this guy's telling me, Rodney Monker stood up for freedom of the press in the 80s. Man, ain't nobody asked Rodney Monker to do that. A, B, what that got to do with the price of tea in China today? What he did in the 80s. Lots of people did lots of things. What that got to do with me and you spending my VAT money? Let's go to a break. We'll be right back.
For 25 years, Advantage Insurance has provided coverage for your most prized possessions, offering insurance plans to cover your vehicle, home, business, and boat with customized options that work with your budget. Now, Advantage says thank you to all our loyal customers and business partners over the past 25 years. Call 356-0285 or visit Advantage Insurance on Collins Avenue today. When every dollar counts, count on Advantage. Celebrating 25 years of service.
Samantha's always on point. She doesn't miss a thing. When she signs up for any insurance policy, she reads all the fine print. She knows what's covered, what's not covered, and she's aware of her deductibles. When it comes to insurance, it pays to know your policy. Review every insurance policy so you know what you're covered for. This message was brought to you by the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
You do coffee your way. Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem, just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
J.S. Johnson Insurance.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. Good to have you with us. Again, we talked about the Rodney Monker thing today, not in terms of Rodney Monker's character per se. That is less important to me than the actual reasoning behind the award of the contract and what it means for explaining how we spend money that we say is for the good of the country. So that's where I find some sort of disconnect, and not in that you give him a contract, because you're not going to like everybody who gets anything anyway. It just is what it is, right? So somebody you think should have something, another person will think they shouldn't, and that's just life. At the end of the day, though, you're going to have to justify the decision when you're spending money that is not your own. So I don't have a problem that he got a contract, per se. There's no hate, there's no jealousy, there's no nothing. I have an issue with the explanation that was given as to why he should be in that position. And I think that's fair. And you can't expect to spend public money and not have the public ask questions about why you feel as though this is a justified expense. And that it just is what it is. All right, let's do some text messages here. Oh, we got a phone call. I'll get that in 1 second. And then that's the last one we got to do. This says, one, regarding the former fired BPL chairman Donald Osborne coming out and publicly claiming how bad her reputation was injured and she was affected professionally, in my view, is a gross exaggeration. In my view, she was primarily speaking and exaggerating for the defamation trial judge. She tried to be awarded millions like Shane Gibson, that man who many say had O.J. Simpson luck in the results of his corruption trial. You know, in case of defamation, it's you got to prove damage, and that's what she is attempting to do. So, I mean, at the end of the day, the judge will look at it, but if she claims she has not worked because of that on a consistent basis, then that's certainly, if you could prove that, certainly that would strengthen her case a lot. Please let 28 years leave his number or call this text number. I mean, 52? I'll try to get it. I had his number. I'll try to get it for you. This is truth is many cronies would have nothing if they were not cronies and given government contracts. This is one of the challenges. Most of the politicians feel the same way you feel about encouraging your children to return to the Bahamas. Do a check and you will discover that children of a goodly number of former and current politicians remain and are living overseas. Following university, there's a real disconnect with being in power and governing in the best interests of the majority of Bahamians. Agreed. And I'm like I said, I'm going to try to do everything I can do to bolster that argument. Right now, as I sit here, it's like, boy, oof, I really don't have anything to give you at this point for you to stay and build on. So I know I don't know that I say stay and let's try to figure it out or you go elsewhere and try to figure it out. But wherever you go, it's not going to be just handed to you. You know what I mean? So that's the thing. So, it's, you know, it's a disconnect. Yeah. Absolutely. But mind you, I was talking to a former politician like a few months ago, right? Here's where I want to be in life, right? So they were saying that they were trying to find something that their son was into. And when they found something that one of their children was into, they went and started a business so that their child, the child is grown now, right? So that their grown child could have that business and work and build his future with that business. And they set the business up for him. And for the love of God, that's where I want to be in life. I won't lie to you. I'm not there yet, but that's where I want to be. Says McCartney, why is it that when we begin talking about leaving the Bahamas, we're only focusing so narrowly and mostly on the United States, secondly, Canada? In some cases, if you're willing to learn a second language, there are other nations in the world that you can actually comfortably migrate to, nations where the cost of living is far way less than the Bahamas. And even many instances less than the USA and Canada. Folks, please do some research. Look at the immigration policies of various nations. Look at their laws and policies that affect you as a citizen or resident. See if it suits you. Don't limit yourselves to the Bahamas, the USA, and Canada. Yeah, I mean, what you're going to find is people will start, people who speak English will go to countries that speak English, right? That's just how it works because it's difficult to bridge that gap in any short period of time. Juan, all of these people who are commenting that Rodney should be given a chance have clearly forgotten the disaster that was the last person who people thought should be given a chance, despite very glaring deficiencies in the role they were given. Also, as political patronage, the development plan of this country, all of these appointments being made while qualified aliens are being let go from the public service and leaving the country, taking their expertise to other governments. Yep, that's what I'm trying to say. Like, what's the plan here, right? Are we going to just give out jobs for fun and then try to explain it away, or are we being strategic about it, right? So and the fact of the matter is, if you were being strategic about it, in my opinion, it wouldn't have come out by mistake, right? You would have announced these people to, here's X, Y, Z, and here's the role we have for them to play. Da 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 da. Not it just happened. And what about Omar Archer, right? And Moniker's been living there a long time. This is one, you're right, all my friends who I went to better schools with and got better grades make three times as much money as me working in the United States and got green cards through jobs only. It ain't easy. A lot of people go and they go, well, just America's better and Canada's better. And mind you, if you're rich in America, it's a different ballgame, but then a lot of rich Americans come here as well. But it ain't like you ain't going to work, right? It's not like you're not going to have cultural issues, all right? You will. Oh, Lord, these people. It says, now, Juan, for the F&Ms out there, didn't the F&M party put Rodney Munker in the Senate and pay him handsomely? No, I'm going to say no. Not the F&M, no. That was Loretta Butler-Turner when she appointed him when she became leader of Her Majesty's official, Her Majesty's loyal opposition. And I don't know that senators get paid handsomely. Perhaps for the number of times they go to the Senate, but I don't know that I'm taking that job just for the 16 G's a year. This says, it is what it is, but what it is a bunch of foolishness. Canada can't see me fast enough. And that's how a lot of younger people feel. Individually, we may not be hugely important to the Bahamas, but together the lost talent is a big issue. Rodney Walker can get 60 grand with no qualifications, but we with my 2 degrees can't get $30,000 as a teacher. Nonsense. Yeah. And that's going to have to change too. The whole thing with the nurses, with the teachers, you know what I'm saying? Because no doubt you got to have education if you're going to move forward anywhere. But that's not just a given, right? So a couple more remarks as we move forward here. It says, who you know definitely trumps what you know in the Bahamas. I got the highest score on a test to get a government job, and still, they don't get hired. It says, senators get 12 grand a year. That may be right. I think 12, 5, something like that. Says Rodney Munker was an F&M. Maybe if things don't go right, the PLP will switch again. He seemed to be mixed up like Kong Salad. This says, Juan, we know what Pendling thought about Rodney Munker. Give a taxi plate and invite him to his house to meet Mandela. Papa made him a JP. Christie made him head of urban renewal in Baintown. Now Brave. Give him a little contract for destroying minutes for 4 years, Juan. That's only politics. Well, and that's unfortunate. And so that that can be the way we just run a country. All right. We got to at some point we got to approach it a bit differently. And I'm hoping that they're more considered in these other approaches. And for the record, I'm not so sure that Davis knew about this off top, but I could be wrong. It says Juan Einlein, I miss Impact. Why did they switch them? And who are these new collectors? I don't know. I'm going to publicly shame you when I find out who you are. Who has the contract for Village Road trash pickup? I can't get to all these text messages. When I find out who you are, I'm going to call you out publicly. You're going to have a problem. You're going to call the owners of the station complaining because I'm going to explain to the public that you are terrible at your job. If you are being paid to collect trash on the side corners off the main Village Road between Parkgate Road and East Bay, you are failing. All right? You're lousy. I hope you hear me. Don't get mad at me because you don't do your job. Impact Waste was 10 times better. We call the ministry, oh, Saturday's your day. Oh, it's one day. Okay. Saturday comes, ain't nothing happening. Sunday comes, nothing happening. Monday comes, nothing happening. Call the ministry. Oh, yeah, Wednesday's your day. And all that happens is somebody at the ministry, like, gets heated and calls the people, and they come pick up the trash. One day, dude them came halfway down the corner and then turned around and didn't pick up the other half of the thing. We had to call them, and they came back the next day to do it. You know? If you need me to pay for my trash pickup, I don't have a problem with that. All right? My wife's telling me they're just not going to collect our garbage now. They're not collecting it now? What do you want me to? Be quiet in the hopes that they're going to do right, act right? I gotta use threats and intimidation. All right? If you want me to praise you, I'll praise. I don't know your name. When I find out your name, I'm going to let everybody know that the government's paying you. And we might as well set our money on fire. I'm going to find out who you are. That you can rest assured. All right. It says, sadly, the person who have the contract may not have the required equipment. And that's my point, right? That's my point. How you get a garbage contract if you don't have a garbage truck? Y'all sharing the truck? What are y'all doing? Anyway, I gotta go. You guys take care out there. Have a great day, Bahamas.